yesterday. We ended with Mother Yashoda's apprehending of Lord Krishna, capturing him from behind. Paramishtam achyantato drutya gopya. And today we're going to discuss the fright scene. How Krishna demonstrated such fear of Mother Yashoda so that she would put down the stick. Very important strategy by Krishna to avoid being chastised. Rudantam mohua netra yugjam yugvam rajantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netra. He's rubbing his eyes with his hands. And as he's rubbing his eyes, because there's so many tears in his eyes, he's also smearing the black mascara that decorates his eyes. He's smearing that all over his face. So his face is decorated with a mixture of black mascara and tears. And Muhuswasa Kampa, Chire Kanka Kanta, his pearl necklaces around his neck are shaking because his body is shaking so much in fear. Stitta Grivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam. He's going to be bound eventually, not by the rope, but by his mother's bhakti. But first he's going to put on a convincing demonstration to keep Mother Yashoda from chastising him with the stick she holds in her hand. What Mother Yashoda has done is grab Krishna's right hand with her hand, holding him. Then she's got the stick in the other hand. And so Krishna, with his left hand, he's wiping his eyes with the back of his hand, like that. And this way he's smearing the mascara all over his face, mixed with the tears. He's shaking. He's breathing rapidly, sobbing. He's thinking, I have to put on a great show of fear in order so she won't chastise me. And he's pleading with his mother, don't chastise me with the stick. Please put the stick down. And Mother Yashoda is saying, if you don't want to be chastised, why did you do these mischievous acts? And Krishna responds, I won't do it again, I promise. I won't do it again. Just put the stick down. So, Mother Yashoda does become touched by seeing such fear in her son. And being a wise mother, she thinks it's not good that her child is too afraid. So she puts the stick down. But still, she has to discipline him. And she's also worried that he's so afraid, he may just run out into the forest. He's so restless now with fear. So, in order to discipline him, so he wouldn't be able to play with his friends, and also in order to keep him from becoming so restless out of fear that he runs away, Mother Yashoda decided to bind him. This is a common practice even today in traditional villages in India, to bind a child with a rope. So, Mother Yashoda got a rope to put around the waist of her son. But how can she get a rope around Krishna, who has no beginning or end, who has no front or rear? How do you get a rope around Krishna? You want to put a rope around his waist, but his waist contains the entire universe. From the expansion of the expansion of Krishna, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, comes a lotus flower where Lord Brahma takes his birth, and all the seeds of the universe are there. So, that same waist, that same abdomen, Mother Yashoda wants to bind. But she's absorbed in the mood of, in the love, in the prem of dealing with Krishna as her son. She's not thinking he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's thinking, he's my son. I have to raise him properly. So, you all know what happened. She brought the rope around his waist. Little child. But the rope was too short. 2 fingers too short. So then, Mother Yashoda got another rope to make the original rope longer. She attached the rope. And still, 2 fingers too short. Another rope, another rope. Each time, the combined rope was 2 fingers too small. Very mystical. Why always just 2 fingers? Exactly. The rope was always 2 fingers too short, no matter how many ropes she got to put around his waist. By this time, the elderly gopis who were watching, they began to smile. This child is very wonderful. It is so that this child cannot be bound. They didn't think he's God. They just thought, there's something about this child. He can't be bound. But Mother Yashoda was determined. Her determination was, even if I have to do like this until evening comes and I gather all the ropes in the whole village, even if it takes that, still I will continue. I will bind this boy. She was becoming fatigued in the process, and Krishna noticed her fatigue. At first, Krishna was resisting. I will not be bound. I must continue with my activities of stealing butter, and I must continue playing with my friends. I will not be bound. So he manifested his vibhuti shakti, his opulences, and his sankalpa, satya sankalpa shakti, the potency by which he fulfills his own desires. And he made it impossible for Mother Yashoda to get the rope around his waist. By the time she had attached one rope to another rope to another rope, she had a rope that was 150 feet long. Still, always 2 fingers too short. Then Krishna noticed his mother's fatigue, and his mercy, his kripa, manifested. The mercy of the Lord made his other potencies of opulence disappear. So, by the presence of the mercy, combining with the determination of the devotee, the gap was finally closed. The closing of the gap is very significant. When the ropes finally joined together, what happened was the combination of 2 types of nishtas. The bhakta nishta, Mother Yashoda's bhakti determination. I'm going to love my son properly. Loving him properly means to correct him, to discipline him. And then the other nishta is the swanishta, Krishna's own steadiness in reciprocating with his devotee. Krishna saw, she's so determined to love me with her motherly love. All right, I'll let it happen. So please think about the gap of 2 fingers that was always there. The rope was always 2 fingers too short around Krishna's waist. That gap was covered by the determination of Mother Yashoda's love and Krishna's mercy, his steadiness in reciprocating with his devotee's love. That's what crossed the gap. What separated the 2 ends of the rope. Mother Yashoda's hard work to love and raise her son properly, and Krishna's desire to come under the control of his devotee. Unless Krishna agreed, she could not bind him. Now, this pastime is difficult to understand unless you can appreciate the nature of Krishna praying, love of God. This pastime seems very pastoral, very village-like, and then you have the element of the inconceivable added. But for devotees, it is a most intimate and glorious pastime because it reveals that even more important than the opulences of the Lord, the vibhutis of the Lord, is the Lord's loving reciprocation with his devotees. Krishna loves so intensely that he'll even agree to voluntarily come under the control of his devotees' love. Therefore, when you say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should automatically think Krishna is the Supreme Lover. So why should we feel insecure about serving Krishna? Our insecurity in serving Krishna comes from our pride that we know what love is. We can arrange loving affairs. Why do we have to come to Krishna for that? But once, through real humility, we understand that our loving efforts have all been a failure, and that our loving capacity is very paltry, very tiny. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling. You thought you could love someone, but then you realize, I've just got such tiny capabilities. What can you do? Just squeeze the person and squeeze the person and squeeze the person and squeeze the person. You get tired of it after a while. It's just It's not possible to taste real love in this world. What you're really tasting is just a flowing of the modes of passion. You're tasting your own desires and expectations combined with the other person's desires and expectations. To properly appreciate this Damodar Leela, you have to understand that Krishna is the master at loving affairs. He's so much the best lover that he even voluntarily agrees to come under the control of his devotees' love. There are so many extraordinary personalities in the universe. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and then there's Lakshmi Devi and Vaikuntha. But Shukadeva Goswami says, Nale Bhire. Three times, Nale Bhire, Nale Bhire. Brahma couldn't get this mercy. Shiva couldn't get this mercy. Lakshmi Devi couldn't get this mercy. But Mother Yashoda, the simple lady in Vrindavan, she got what the greatest personalities in the universe could not get. And what about Krishna in relation to yogis, jnanis, mystic yogis and metaphysical speculators? They're always trying to capture the Supreme Absolute Truth in terms of their mystic powers and their intellectual abilities. But all they can get, at most, is the effulgence of Krishna in this way. But to capture Krishna himself, that can only be done by love. And Mother Yashoda demonstrates that. The only way she could bind Krishna is because of her love. Krishna reciprocated with her love. Otherwise, Krishna made the lesson very clear to everyone for all eternity. Unless I agree to be bound, she won't be able to bind me. Once again, think of Krishna. No beginning, no end, no front, no behind. Limitless, beyond laws of time, laws of space. It should have been so easy for Mother Yashoda to get a rope around his waist. He's just a little boy. But until Krishna agreed to be conquered by her love, it was not possible. By Krishna demonstrating these pastimes, he created subject matter for the devotees to talk about. That's what he has in mind. His first mission is to please the residents of Vrindavan. And then he's showing mercy to all the devotees by giving them this most wonderful, pleasing subject matter to discuss. Iti drik sa lila bir anandakunde swagosham namajantam akyapayam. What is Krishna doing? Swalila, his own personal stock of pastimes, he's displaying. And what does he do with those pastimes? His own personal storehouse of very intimate pastimes. Anandakund, he drowns all the residents of Vrindavan in a pool of liquid ecstasy. Swagosham, they're his own people, his own folk, his own Brijvasis. So he gives them this topmost loving experience by virtue of his personal pastimes. It's like Krishna saying, okay, here you go, into the pool of liquid bliss. That is Krishna's program. And he's teaching a lesson to others. Tadiyeshi tageshu bhaktar jitaktvam. To those who are attracted to the aishvarya, the opulences of the Lord. He's showing that nothing compares to the devotees who are attracted to me in spontaneous love. Therefore, puna prematastam shatavritti vande. With praying, with love of God, we offer our obeisances again and again. So let us meditate on this scene. First of all, remember Krishna's fear. This is talked about by so many devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. Uddhava talked about it. Kunti talked about it. How can this be? Everyone is afraid of Krishna, yet Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. And then think about the impossibility of getting a rope around Krishna. Yet Mother Yashoda did the impossible because of her determination in love. This is a very important part of love. Determination. That's why in our devotional service, it's very important to show Krishna that we're determined. You would want that for yourself. Even speaking in the mundane, ordinary way, if someone said they loved you, you want to see determination. You want to see that they're willing to sacrifice for you, go through a little inconvenience upon your behalf. Well, you are part of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person. He's the most expert at love. So what's wrong with Krishna enjoying our determination to serve him, to love him? It was Mother Yashoda's determination in love that made the difference and bridged the gap of two fingers between the two ends of the rope. Her determination in love did that. Her bhakta nishta, the determination of a devotee. So Krishna reciprocated with his own nishta, his swanishta, his own steadiness in reciprocating with his devotee's love. Because of the manifestation of Krishna's kripa, his mercy, his heart melted, the Lord's heart melted, and his opulence potencies were withdrawn, they became invisible. Because more important than the Lord's opulences, his vibhutis, is the Lord's mercy and desire to spontaneously relate to his devotees. So please meditate on this picture of Mother Yashoda trying to bind Lord Krishna. Krishna binds everyone. In the material universe, everyone is bound. Yet, that person who binds everyone is being bound by Mother Yashoda. So there is Krishna, bound. But then he has another devotee to take into account besides Mother Yashoda. There have been the words of Narada Muni, who, when he cursed Nalakuvara and Manigriva, Narada Muni said, "You'll be born as trees, but you'll be born as trees in Vrindavan, and you'll be free from this situation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom you will see face to face." So Krishna knew about these words of his dear devotee Narada Muni. So not only was Krishna reciprocating with Mother Yashoda, but he's also reciprocating with Narada Muni. And after all, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they're sons of Kuvera, the treasurer demigod. And he's a devotee of Krishna. So in all these ways, Krishna was taking into account his obligations for reciprocation, which he voluntarily accepts. He's not forced to accept that. "My devotee Narada Muni has spoken. I must fulfill his words. Even though I'm bound now, still, I will set these boys free." That's another paradox which we will explore in coming days. So please let this vision evermore be in your minds and hearts. That is also part of the Damodarastic prayers. Manasyavarastamalam Makshala. May this Bal Gopal, that vision, Idam Te Purnata Gopala Balam. That is the mood in Vrindavan. This prayer is saying, here in Vrindavan we have a certain way of doing things, a certain way of thinking about things, a certain way of seeing things. Idam Te Purnata Gopala Balam. Here in Vrindavan, we want simply to have the vision of Bal Gopal evermore in our hearts and minds. We don't need any other benediction than this. Any questions? Krishna's care for his devotee begins as soon as you take up the process of bhakti. So much mercy the devotee is getting upon taking up Krishna consciousness. First of all, just watch and see how your material desires start to decrease. Just by the fact that no longer are you engaged in demoniac animal activities. What happened? Just like today, your ex-flatmate came into the restaurant and you showed me her. So then I could see, yes, Krishna has reciprocated. Just see how Krishna has saved you. From a horrible life, suffering now and in the future. The after effects of the Kali Yuga vices are very horrible. And then, besides that, you get a karmic reaction in your next life. You suffer now and later. But Krishna's reciprocated with you. You're not doing those things anymore. You've lost your taste for those things. You could see, she's still going strong. She insisted upon showing you her pictures from southern France where she lived for 2 months. So, you could have been like that, except Krishna reciprocated with your taking up of the chanting of the holy name and performing devotional service. How did he reciprocate? He caused you to want to relinquish your sinful activities. And then Krishna is given the holy name. He's given the association of devotees. These are all gifts from Krishna. And then, as we take up devotional service, amazing, even to us, we start developing determination. We start to feel a desire welling up in our heart. I want to do something nice for Krishna. That is Krishna's mercy. For so many births, we've tried to do nice things for people in the material world. And the nice things that we tried to do always turned out to have some problem. Now we're trying to do things that please Krishna. And we're seeing the result. Just the fact that we have that desire to do things to please Krishna, that is Krishna's mercy on us. By endeavoring every day to chant the Hare Krishna mantra properly, you feel Krishna's reciprocation. That's why it's so important for devotees to just commit themselves to morning after morning of the meditation on the holy name of the Lord. Morning after morning. This is going to be your whole life. And you'll see Krishna reciprocating. But you're never going to think you're tasting the holy name enough. You're always going to think, oh, there's so much more, so much more. That's what life is like on the spiritual platform. Krishna Prem, love of God, is dissatisfying, but not in a material way. Krishna Prem is dissatisfying in that you always think, I only have very little of it. I need more. But actually, you're satisfied. There's no question of material dissatisfaction. But Krishna Prem, love of Krishna, is spiritually dissatisfying. You always just want more and more and more, even though you're satisfied. This can't be understood on the material platform. Krishna reciprocates with the devotees through the chanting of the holy name. He reciprocates with you through the shastra. You pick up Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you read and, oh, I must have read this 100 times, but still, my consciousness is so gripped by it. My heart is enthralled. That's Krishna reciprocating with you. You should, everyone should, get that experience when you've read all of Srila Prabhupada's books so many times and yet you still are amazed and enthralled by what you read. That's Krishna reciprocating with you. We're not dealing with material knowledge and material information. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's stated that for the sincere, determined devotee, the super soul in the heart makes all the devotional activities ever fresh. Therefore, you could be doing the same service day after day after day, but you'll see newer and newer lights in that service. You'll get newer and newer visions of how to please Krishna. Even if your service is simply sweeping all the floors every day, your bhakti will develop and you'll see newer and newer ways how to please Krishna. Just even by doing the same service day after day after day. That's why I'd like that the younger devotees get a vision for doing the same thing every day, yet seeing a completely different spiritual universe in what they're doing. In other words, seeing the ever-freshness of their devotional activities, even though from the material point of view it looks like the same thing every day. You know, Christ Church is a small city. It's not like it's got endless material variety. Everyone knows each other here too well. And everyone knows every part of the city. You've been up and down every street. It's not a huge city. So, quite easily, you can feel like, oh, it's the same thing every day, the same place every day, the same people every day. Therefore, you have to make a special effort in Christ Church to see the ever-fresh spiritual reality, and that requires Krishna's help. I know that some of you are going to be here 20 years from now in this same city, maybe in the same building. Now, does that mean your life is just very, very repetitive and very non-variegated? No. It will mean that you've learned to see the spiritual reality of all the different services you're doing. And therefore you're not fooled by the material perception that it's the same thing every day, in the same place, with the same people. Through Krishna's mercy, through Krishna's reciprocation, you'll see past all that. That's very important in this Christ Church situation. Here in Christ Church, unlike so many other places, cities in the world, devotees don't really go anywhere else. It's just something peculiar about Christ Church that once you're here in Christ Church, you're here for the duration. Other cities, devotees are much more mobile, you know, moving here, moving there. But I notice here in Christ Church, once you're here, you're here. And so, devotees really need to earn Krishna's reciprocation for seeing the limitless spiritual world, even in these very materially limited circumstances. This is not a temple with many complicated activities. It has a few focused activities which require responsible devotees. There's deity worship, there's the restaurant, there's the preaching programs, loft and yoga, like that, and then there's the Sankirtan book distribution. So it can seem like, oh, I've been doing this for 10 years, 20 years. I hope so. But if you are getting Krishna's mercy, you'll be able to see the spiritual world and its ever freshness in your service. I remember Srila Prabhupada telling one lady devotee, Sankirtan devotee, he told her, just go out every day of your life and one day you'll see Krishna on the street. So that's Krishna reciprocating with you. If you're determined to do that, Krishna is determined to reveal himself to you. And Krishna can become so determined that he'll come under the control of your love. That is the mystery of bhakti. Anything else? You'll always see Krishna's mercy. He's reciprocating with your attempts to serve him. You may need some guidance to see that, but it's there. It's like today I was talking with Jackie, and I could see, yes, Krishna's reciprocating with her. A few months ago, she was one way. Now she's another way. That's Krishna's reciprocation. You might think, oh, but it's all my choice. I got tired of material life, and so I chose to do this. No, you can't come to Krishna without Krishna's permission. That means you got the favor of a devotee, and then Krishna reciprocated. That's why I was speaking about we need to perpetuate a culture of gratitude, because when you're grateful, it's very easy to see how someone has done something for you, especially how Lord Krishna has done something for you, when you have this attitude of gratefulness. Like I was listening to, just a couple hours ago, I was listening to Danny describe his prasad experiences. Confessions of a prasad addict. He sounded like, you know, I guess what drug addicts sound like when they're talking about their habit. You know, like, I just can't break loose. Every time I find a newer and newer world. He was telling me how he would try to use his university intelligence to analyze the situation objectively. After yoga class, he would, you know, sit at the table with the other people who are attending the class, and they would all try to figure out, what is so special about this food? Let's look at the ingredients. It's rice, sauce, some vegetables. But why is there something special about this food? Yes, the special thing is the bhakti. The bhakti that allowed Mother Yashoda to bind Lord Krishna is there in its budding stages. And so it's so tasty. Even in the budding stages, it's so tasty. Because Krishna has accepted the food. It's prasad. That is reciprocation. So the unfathomable, incomprehensible taste that he's realizing, that is Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna has actually eaten the food. But you can't figure that out materially. So therefore, generally, your first experience of Krishna comes through the tongue. This is according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. Sevan Mukhi Hi Jivara. Devotional service begins with the tongue. Everyone says, I want to see God. But you can taste God. In this church, God realization begins with the tongue. So when you go back to Berkeley, you can tell everyone. I've experienced God through the tongue. All right, so as we end for tonight, please keep this vision of Mother Yashoda. She's caught Krishna by the right hand, and she's got a stick in her other hand. And Krishna with his left hand, with the back of his left hand, is wiping the tears from his eyes and smearing black mascara and tears all over his face. And he's shaking so much his pearl necklaces are jumping on his neck. He's breathing. The whole point is to convince Mother Yashoda not to chastise him. So Krishna really does a dramatic demonstration of fear. And Mother Yashoda is convinced, oh, he's too fearful. I'll put down the stick. But I'm going to bind him. And remember what bridged the gap between the two ends of the rope. By that time, the rope had become 150 feet long. Remember Mother Yashoda's determination. I will be here until evening comes. Even if I have to take every rope in the village, I'm binding my child. This is the kind of determination we need in executing devotional service. Willingness to tolerate inconveniences. Not being so prone to take situations at face value. Willingness to see the deeper side of things. That willingness to see the deeper side of things comes in the association of serious devotees. It's always going to be amazing how you can look at things in the superficial way, or you can look at things in the deep way and see the hand of Krishna. To see the hand of Krishna requires good association and good guidance. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.